It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. It has long been known that high blood pressure, also known as hypertension, is more prevalent in the African-American community. Known as the silent killer, it has taken the lives of over 50,000 people in the last year alone. High blood pressure can lead to heart disease. Here in Allegheny County, African-Americans have higher death rates than those of the rest of the state and other ethnic groups. How can this trend be reversed? I'm joined now in Studio A by Dr. Indu Purnima, a cardiologist at Allegheny General Hospital. Dr. Purnima and the West Penn Allegheny Health System have begun a study to find out why hypertension and its complications are more prevalent in Black Americans than in other U.S. racial groups. Dr. Indu Purnima, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you'd like to join the conversation, you can call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Have you or someone close to you been diagnosed with high blood pressure? How has it affected your health? And what are you doing to keep it under control? Share your story with us at 412-246-2002. That's the number to call with comments and questions. Our email address is essspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at essspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Dr. Purnima, even though you are just embarking on this study, what are at least some of the indications at this point as to why hypertension and its complications are more prevalent in Black Americans than in other racial groups? What do you suspect?
Sure. So we now know that African Americans clearly have a higher proportion of high blood pressure compared to whites. It's close to 40% of the African Americans living in the United States have high blood pressure, both men as well as women, as opposed to 30% in most of the other races. So it's not clear exactly what these reasons are, but it's probably multifactorial. Some of this is clear physiological reasons, such as a genetic predisposition, probably to salt sensitivity. And there have been some genes isolated as recently as earlier this year, which show an association specifically for high blood pressure in African Americans. But in addition to that, the more common causes are the increased prevalence of obesity, increased prevalence of stressors in African American lives, as well as access to healthcare. So all of these reasons probably are reasons why African Americans have a higher incidence of high blood pressure compared to whites. But we don't have one clear answer yet.
And obesity is a problem that is prevalent throughout all of American society. Some might say Western society, but it really seems to be here in North America and here in the United States in particular where there's a problem. Do we know why that is?
I think lifestyle reasons are definitely one of the major causes. People are more sedentary these days, lack of exercise, as well as, you know, the eating habits which have changed over the last several decades, leading to increased consumption of processed foods, less consumption of fruits and vegetables. All of these are definite reasons for increase in obesity. So even people who do not have a genetic predisposition to diabetes and high blood pressure are now developing these conditions. So clearly lifestyle changes are the biggest reason.
We know more, though, now. We know more about cholesterol. I mean, there were years ago, people would wake up and the automatic everyday breakfast was bacon and eggs.
Mm-hmm.
We know that today there's high sodium in bacon and that, eggs without, unless you reduce them to just the egg whites, they have a lot of cholesterol. So we have all this knowledge now. Why is it that we are not able to adjust accordingly?
Well, unfortunately, knowledge doesn't always translate to action, and you have to consider the psychosocial barriers, especially that African American face, with access to these kind of so-called healthy foods.
Psychosocial?
Yes, and mostly social determinants, where, you know, getting through the day itself is hard enough that where you have the time to actually shop for foods that are healthier than others, looking at food labels. I think one of the most important things in terms of patient education is educating patients how to read food labels, specifically with respect to sodium content. So people now know that looking at the cholesterol content of foods is important. looking at, for example, saturated fat, trans fat, all of those things, I think thanks to media, people are aware of that. But it's as important to look at the sodium content of food or the salt content, because the more healthy foods which are in the frozen section typically have a high content of sodium, because that's what keeps, that's the preservative that's used in those foods.
And a lot of those healthy choice, not to single out one particular,
yes.
but those are the ones oftentimes that are low in fat, but they also are high in sodium.
Right. And when you have a job to get to and you have kids to take care of and you're quickly trying to get a meal, that's typically what you go to thinking that possibly this is healthy. But I think the sodium content of foods is something that we really need to educate the public about.
So that affects all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So looking now at African Americans in particular, why would African Americans in Allegheny County
mm-hmm.
have higher death rates from heart disease than those in the rest of the state?
I wish we had a clear answer for that. I think one of the reasons we embarked on this study, which is called the Epidemiological Study of Cardiovascular Risk in African Americans, is to try to understand that. Is it access to healthcare? Is it social determinants? Is it genetic factors? Or is it a combination of all of those that actually lead to this eventual, you know, statistic, which obviously is not a good statistic?
Why is hypertension or high blood pressure called the silent killer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always talk to patients about this when they are first coming into the office, because unless you come into an office or at least go to a pharmacy or someplace to get your blood pressure checked, you really don't know what your blood pressure is. So,
well, wouldn't you be able to tell? I mean, isn't your heart maybe isn't your heart rate going faster, your heart beating harder? Wouldn't you be able to sense within yourself, boy, there's something going on here?
Well, you will be able to till when your blood pressure reaches about 200. But you obviously
but
do not want to wait until
right.
then.
So you're in a danger zone well before that.
Absolutely.
And so there's really nothing that's that noticeable?
No, nothing at all. And that is exactly why it's called the silent killer. I think especially people who have a family history, who are obese, who have diabetes, those other risk factors especially need to have your blood pressure checked. I think everybody needs to have their blood pressure checked because, like I said, these days you do not necessarily need to have another family member who has high blood pressure for you to have that condition. So it's important for every adult. And, of course, even children these days are developing high blood pressure, especially as the incidence of childhood obesity has been increasing.
How much of it has to do with diet? And how much of it has to do with lifestyle?
Mm-hmm.
I should say, how much of it has to do with diet and lifestyle, and how much of it has to do with genetics would be the better question.
Right. Most of the time, it's very hard to separate out these conditions. When we see patients who are lean, fit, eating a healthy diet, and yet have high blood pressure, we say more likely than not, this is genetics. But that's hard to come by, those kind of patients. So most patients have a combination of things. But when we do see high blood pressure, especially in younger and younger African Americans, we are starting to think that clearly there must be a genetic, and most of these are healthy, you know, people who are playing sports, et cetera, and who still develop high blood pressure. So then possibly the genetics are playing a bigger role.
We're talking with Dr. Indu Purnima of the West Penn Allegheny Health System. She is a cardiologist at Allegheny General Hospital, and she's here talking about the trend that shows that more African Americans in Allegheny County die from heart disease than those in the rest of the state. We're wondering why that is, and we also want to share stories today and hear from people who have high blood pressure or who know someone, a family member, someone you're close to who has high blood pressure. How did they find out about it? How are they managing it? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Again, 412-246-2002. What are some of the things that you've experienced that have given you knowledge of the correlation between heart disease, high blood pressure, and the causes of high blood pressure? Again, 412-246-2002. Our email address, ESSPGH@WESA.FM, and you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at #EPLive. How many Americans overall have hypertension, Dr. Purnima?
Like I said, it's about 30% among whites and about 40% among African Americans.
And out of that number,
this is the adult population.
Right. And how many of that, what percentage of those people do not know that they have high blood pressure?
Close to 60%.
60%. Right. Don't even realize it.
Correct. In our study of just 250 subjects enrolled so far, we know that the prevalence of high blood pressure, again, is close to 60%. This is just African Americans. And among the 60%, another 40% are currently being treated, but less than 10% is actually at goal for treatment of high blood pressure. So despite being diagnosed and despite being told that they have high blood pressure, and some of them are on medications, their blood pressure numbers are still not at goal. So there's a huge treatment gap as well as a diagnosis gap.
So what are some of the things that people can do to help themselves? There's some obvious things, but maybe some things that aren't so obvious.
Mm-hmm. I think the most obvious thing, of course, is to get your blood pressure checked. I think that would be a good start. And in addition to that, following up with your doctor. Unfortunately, especially among the African-Americans and others as well, I commonly hear this, that I got started on medications. My doctor said my blood pressure is fine now. And so they just stopped their medications without understanding that this is a lifelong condition and you probably need to be on medications for the most part lifelong, except in conditions where if you were 100 pounds overweight, you lost a significant amount of weight. You've made a lot of lifestyle changes, then yes, there is a potential for you to get off medications. But the compliance with medical therapy, continued visits to the doctor, I think these are all conditions, important things for patients to remember.
Are pharmaceutical companies developing drugs specifically for African Americans to help treat high blood pressure?
Yeah, among drugs that are currently used for treatment of blood pressure, certainly there are certain groups of drugs that work better in African Americans compared to Caucasians as well as other ethnic populations, such as the diuretics or the water pills. So those specifically are better blood pressure medications in African Americans. There aren't any drugs being specifically targeted at this population, but I think there are certain therapies that work better.
Explain what preeclampsia is. Mm-hmm.
So women during pregnancy sometimes develop high blood pressure. More common in older pregnant women, women carrying who are multi-parents or carrying twins or triplets, etc., or women who have a genetic predisposition to high blood pressure. So all of these groups develop high blood pressure during their pregnancy. And as a result of that, they sometimes, the blood pressure actually damages the kidney and the women start leaking protein in the urine. So most women probably recall that when they're pregnant, their doctor checks their urine for protein. And if there's evidence of protein in the urine as well as high blood pressure during pregnancy, that condition is called preeclampsia. So preeclampsia is typically treated during pregnancy with certain medications. But the problem is these women actually have damage to their arterial walls even during that short period of hypertension that they have. So they're at risk for heart disease much later on in life. Most of the time, their blood pressure comes back to normal soon after the pregnancy or soon after the delivery. But 3 years from now, they may develop high blood pressure. So these are women who need to be very closely monitored for early diagnosis of hypertension.
How can the trends that we are seeing be reversed?
I think a major educational effort directed at both patients, physicians, patients for compliance to therapy, early diagnosis, lifestyle changes, physician or the medical community for better diagnosis, ensuring compliance with therapy, etc. And lastly, we have to find some innovative ways of tracking and making some changes in the social behavior of different populations. And that treatment needs to be geared, it needs to be socially compatible. I think that is what is also lacking. It needs to be more of a community effort. Maybe we need to involve people other than just the physician and the patient.
So that's what you mean when you say socially compatible?
Mm-hmm.
And who else would you involve?
probably pharmacists, probably community social workers to
ensure
that patients are taking their medications, remaining compliant with therapy, etc. You know, there are studies ongoing looking at computerized algorithms or decision support tools using remote tracking devices to track blood pressure compliance as well as compliance with therapy. So using remote, smartphones, for example, and tracking patients' blood pressures on that.
We're talking with Dr. Indu Purnima, a cardiologist at Allegheny General Hospital. 412-246-2002, the number to call. Let's hear from Ken in Bellevue. Ken, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Hi, welcome to the show. Go ahead with your comment or question, please.
Yes, I have a comment directed at your guest. I have some experience with high blood pressure. I'm 64 years old now, and for the last 12 or 13 years, for about 10 or 11 years, actually, I was on two different types of medication for high blood pressure. And in that 10 or 11 year period, I had been seeing three different doctors, healthcare providers. Now, the tendency, and I found this out personally, this is a personal experience. I no longer have high blood pressure. I changed my lifestyle and I took myself off the medication. My blood pressure right now is lower, is below normal. Okay, I've never been overweight, never had diabetes. But my concern is this. The doctors that I had seen over that 10 or 11 year period, it seemed that the first thing that they did, they had a couple questions concerning my lifestyle, diet and so forth. But having asked me those questions, the first thing they did was say, here's a prescription. You'd go get this filled, and we're going to start you on medication. Now, after I wean myself off of this medication, I'm thinking, shouldn't the first defense and the first attempt at a cure be lifestyle? Shouldn't they be counseling me in my diet primarily and exercise? This is how I took myself off and reduced my blood pressure. I did it myself with the help of a website that I found, a nutritionist. But the information that I found on this website was far and away, for me, more effective in curing the condition. And my question to the doctor is, why is it that physicians don't address the lifestyle, exercise and diet? And then after that doesn't work, then the prescription may come in.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'll let the doctor answer that. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ken, for the question. That is a very valid point. And I think it depends on the stage of hypertension that you are diagnosed with. So if somebody is borderline or what we call as stage one hypertension, I think definitely there should be every effort made to discuss lifestyle changes, including changes in diet, before initiating medical therapy, especially in younger individuals. Because like I said, this can be a lifetime problem. And the longer you have to be on the medication, more the side effects, etc. But if somebody walks in with a blood pressure of 200 into my office, I don't think I would take the chance of lifestyle changes alone. I would probably put them on medication and as well as talk to them about lifestyle and give them the option that down the line, if you make significant changes, there's a very good potential we'll be able to get you off medication. And that should be the traditional approach.
So what Ken is saying is he's thinking that you should be able to go to the doctor and the doctor might be able to look at you and say, all right, you need to eat healthier and exercise. But what you're saying, doctor, is sometimes you cannot wait. You must administer prescribe some sort of medication.
Right. It depends on the severity of the hypertension at the time of diagnosis. It also depends on multiple other things, such as how compliant the patient is going to be. So if I start lifestyle modification as the initial step, I would like to see the patient back in a few months to assess, is there any change in blood pressure? So it all depends, and each patient is different, and I think the doctor should make the treatment plan based on the patient.
412-246-2002. Let's go to Tom in Oakmont. Tom, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Uh, Hi. Thanks for having me. Yes, I haven't heard anything about smoking yet. I'd like to know if smoking is a risk factor here.
I'm guessing there's an obvious answer to that, Dr. Purnima.
Yeah, so smoking is clearly a risk factor for heart disease, no doubt about that. Smoking by itself does not cause hypertension, but it adds on to that as an additional risk factor. And the more risk factors you have, the likelihood of you having a heart attack or a stroke increases severalfold.
Thank you for that question, Tom. We have an off-air comment from Ed who says, in my experience, these wrist monitors are not accurate. You need to have a cuff in order to get a good reading at home.
Mm-hmm.
What about Ed's concern there?
Yeah, I think home blood pressure monitors are very useful. I commonly have patients check their blood pressure at home, and yes, I do have them try to get at least a regular cuff monitor rather than just the wrist monitor. I do agree that the wrist monitors are probably not as accurate as the monitors with the cuff. We also have something called a 24-hour ambulatory blood pressure cuff, which is something that you would pick up at the doctor's office, and it measures your blood pressure continuously for 24 hours. And that's a good way to rule out if a patient has what we call as white coat hypertension, where their blood pressure is just high when they're at the doctor's office, but the rest of the time it's okay.
We are seeing the provisions of the Affordable Care Act kicking in. Some would say we are transitioning into full-blown Obamacare. Regardless of how you phrase it, we're seeing a new era in public health care in the United States. How do you think that this will impact maybe more people getting screened for high blood pressure and hypertension and that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. I think access to health care, as I referred to earlier, could be one of the major reasons why there's a higher prevalence of especially untreated hypertension in African Americans. So I'm hoping that as more people get access to healthcare through insurance, they will come in for their checkups and therefore get diagnosed with high blood pressure early on. In addition to that, it appears that the Affordable Care Act is going to insist on some major preventive measures being offered to patients in addition to drug therapy on a routine basis. So hopefully this would actually improve the problem.
So you're saying that for all of the debate about the Affordable Care Act and or Obamacare, that as far as you're concerned, there could be a very positive outcome from this, if for no other reason, seeing more people get screened or having access to health care.
Correct. And we know that in the last 20 years, the great strides that we've made in reduction of deaths from cardiovascular disease is primarily due to improvement in prevention efforts. So the better that becomes, hopefully we can make even more inroads into this.
Dr. Indu Purnima is a cardiologist at Allegheny General Hospital, and Dr. Purnima and the West Penn Allegheny Health System have begun a study to find out why hypertension and its complications are more prevalent in Black Americans than in other U.S. racial groups. Dr. Purnima, good luck with your work, and thank you for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you so much for having me.
Coming up, we'll hear from a Harrisburg couple who competed in a rally from New York to New Orleans in a junk car powered by vegetable oil. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.